from the book of 2 Peter. Understand that, listen, I've been where you were.
or where you are right now, and you say, I know how you feel. I felt the same way until I found out the truth. And so that, and in order for us to transform, it takes knowledge, information. Isaiah, but now we must have knowledge, gnosis, insight, and understanding. What does the word understand mean? Anybody know what understand means? What does understand mean? What's another expression you can say to a person to say, I understand? What would you say?
I agree with it.
I get it.
I get it, yeah. I agree.
Huh? And mom, you get it after you make a mistake. Isn't that right? Mama say it, be in the house. The officer say it, the principal say it, whoever say it, the coach say it, and then you say it, I didn't understand. Until you did something wrong and say, no, I understand. Then you get in trouble. Yeah? And so we need to have an understanding of ourselves. We need to have an understanding of ourselves. Why do I do what I do? Why do I think the way I think? Why do I act the way I act? And the writer of Ecclesiastes says, let us hear the conclusion of the little matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's life. Yeah. You understand? Fear God. What does it mean to fear God? Do you know what it means to fear God? What's that?
Obey his instructions.
Obey his instructions. Why would I, if I fear God, if I don't obey God's instructions, I mean I don't fear him. Isn't that right? It means to reverence him. Yeah. You ever hear a parent say, you wait until your daddy gets to him. You wait till dad gets to him. What that mean? It's gonna be some trouble. Because you're gonna have a one-to-one. And it's not gonna work in your favor. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is man's law. And then in Acts chapter 17, verses 23 to 31, this is Paul at the Areopagus. It said, Paul, verse 2, 22, Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. For as I was passing through and considered the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with the inscription, to the unknown God. These were religious people. But I was passing through. You had these altars, and just in case we missed somebody, we don't want to offend anybody, they said, to the unknown God. Therefore, Paul said, the one whom you worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you. They were ignorant. They didn't know who the one true God was. God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made of hands. God is not in the cathedral. You know, you go in Spain, this is in Spain, they had that huge cathedral, took up 100 years to build. Beautiful sight. But you know, God's not impressed by that. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Man built that. God's not interested in that. He's not built, God does not dwell in temples made of hands, nor is he worshipped, verse 25, with man's hands, as though he did anything, since he gives to all life and breath and all things. You've got the boat, you go to some of the stores in Leicester. In Leicester, maybe where you've been. You go into the store and they've got that little cat with the hand going like that. And then they've got a candle and a bamboo tree and some money and some other stuff all done. What is that? Or you go into some places that got an elephant with 12 arms, huh? Kusha. What is that? That's man made there. And man bowed down to those things as if they are God. The creation, worshiping the creation instead of the creator. Isn't that right? So, don't act like you don't know about this. Folks walk around with crosses, tattoos on their arm, Jesus, Buddha, Allah, whoever. And he says in verse 26, and he has made from all one blood every nation to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and boundaries of their dwelling, so that, what for? So that they should seek the Lord in hope that he might, that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each of us. And I said the last time, I believe that God has created in every human being the desire to worship. The desire to worship. God has created a longing to worship something. Some people worship their family. Some people worship their sports team. You know what the word fanatic means? Fanatic, fan. I'm a fan of Manchester United, Chelsea, Liverpool, whoever. It means a fanatic. And some folk get their arm tattooed with their sports team, they name their children after their favorite athlete, they do all of those things. What do you do? That's worship. But God wants you to worship him. This is what Paul is saying in this verse. It says, for in him we live and move and have our being, as some of your own poets have said, for we are his offspring. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art and man. So as you look at the Westminster Cathedral, the official church for the Church of England in London, and you look in there and you see all on the outside all of these gargoyles and statues and figurines, man created that. That's not God. And so he says in verse 30, truly these times of ignorance God overlooks some things, but now commands all men everywhere to do what? To repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. There will come a day, and all, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess Jesus as Lord. All those folks, the Muslims, the Buddhists, the Hare Krishnas, the atheists, everyone will bow the knee. You either do it willingly now, or you do it on Judgment Day by force. Now, you get to make the choice. And so, what did Paul do? He educated them. What's our job? Education. We say it. In order for change to take place, first of all, you got to get some information that leads to education, leads to an invitation for transformation, and then there comes application. Head knowledge, heart knowledge, and then work it up with our hands. It all begins with education. The second part of the Great Commission, Matthew 28 and verse 20, teaching them to observe, that's education, that's knowledge. See that? So add to your faith, knowledge. And to knowledge, add self-control. Self-control. Control of self. The opposite of self-indulgence. As unbelievers, we were dominated by our physical appetites, enslaved as it were to them. It means the restraint of one's emotions, impulses, and desires. We read last week, Brother George, Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit. One of the fruit of the Spirit is self-control, is it not? Self-control. That's discipline. Isn't that right? Discipline. Paul says in James chapter 1, verse 14, therefore we need to constantly be in control of our thoughts, our tongue, our temper, and our actions. You cannot blame Satan for it. You can't say, if she didn't say it, I wouldn't say it. Somebody pushed my buttons and I just had to give them a piece of my mind. You ever said that? Said too much, did too much. Self-control, James 1, 14. But each man, look, let's look at James 1:13. James 1:13. look like you're interested. Someone read James chapter 1, starting in verse 12. James 1, 12 through 14.
Can't we see fire as a petition?
it, we use it interchangeably, but we must understand that they're two different things.
That's what I said, can we find trial in temptation?
It is, yes, now that's true, because the temptation is a trying of your faith. Now because, and here's the point, verse number 14. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires. So, what is it, 1 Corinthians says that God will make a way of escape? What's that verse?
That's right.
1 Corinthians 13, look at that. 1 Corinthians 13, this is good stuff. Is it chapter, it's not 13.
Yeah,
13. 10:13, thank you. You want to read that for us? Look at this. Look what the Bible says. No temptation, read it now.
There are no temptation taking you, but such as common to man. But God is faithful, he will not suffer you to be tempted.
Yes.
Above that, ye are able.
Yes.
But we, with temptation, also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear.
That you may be able to bear. And so God is not going to remove the temptation, because he knows what Satan's job is, to draw us away. But he will throw alongside the temptation of what? A way of escape. You see that? So he's going to give you a savior ring or an offering, but guess what you got to do? You got to take the offering. Huh? So here I see, so now I understand that I cannot escape the temptations that will come my way. I understand that God is faithful, according to 1 Corinthians, that alongside that temptation, he's going to make a way of escape. What for? That I may bear up under the temptation. Now, what's the problem? A temptation, anybody ever been fishing? You get that hook, you get the line, and you get some bait, and you put that bait overboard. What's the bait there for? To tempt the fish. And so that's what Satan knows. He puts that bait out there, and when we allow our desires to overtake us, it gets like a hook in us. And we're off to the races. But you know what we don't do? We don't look for the way of escape. You remember Joseph in the Old Testament? Who was that? Potiphar's wife? Said, come lay with me. And what did he do? He took the way of escape. He ran. How can I do this against my God? Huh? But you know what we do? You know what we do? We say, I'm about this. Or I'll do it and I'll repent tomorrow. Huh? That's what we do. We do it willfully. Put my hand up. We do it willfully and we say, God understands. I'll repent of it. I'll fix it tomorrow. Remember what we do? Huh? Because that Holy Spirit says, you know you ought not be over here. You ought not be saying this. You ought not be looking in this glass. You ought not. You should not. And he said he will make a way of escape. And he says, listen now, look what James says in the Bible. You see how the Bible interprets itself? But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then, verse 15 of James 1, when desire has conceived, here's the formula. Here's the formula. Desire plus opportunity equals sin. All of us have desire, but we may not have the opportunity. Mama makes this piece of cake. She makes this cake, George. Nice chocolate cake. And she puts that chocolate icing on and you can smell it. And she says, don't touch that cake. Because I'm putting it over here because I'm taking it down to the church for the potluck tomorrow. I've got a desire. But what's the problem? I had the opportunity. No, Mama leaves. She leaves the house. Huh? What happened now? I get injured with two. I injured a little bit more. Nobody's looking. And desire and opportunity meet. Huh? You know what happened to David and Bathsheba? That If in the bottom, yeah, it's probably good.
Thank you so much. So, one way to talk about the differences between plantation and tribe.
Yes.
So I tried to look up some meanings.
Yes.
And also like the original words.
Yes.
So one thing that stands out from what I've just looked at is that plantation is basically things to let you sin.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Okay.
So like I think I'm not 100% sure.
Yes.
But I think that the major differences could be that temptation is, we could basically link it to our faith.
Okay. Okay.
Like, even as we are in the world, even unbelievers face trials.
Yes, yes.
But temptation, I think, could be directly, mostly linked to Christians, because it's something that first makes you to sin.
Okay.
But trials, for instance, a lot of unbelievers have good morals, but they are not really Christian.
Okay.
Right? So they could be tried in terms of their morals.
Sure.
But for us Christians, we can also be tried as well in terms of our morals.
Absolutely.
But when it comes to sin,
yes,
that is when we can actually direct to temptation. I don't know if that makes sense.
I like what you say. Now, let's look at it into perspective. Before a person becomes a Christian, they are already a child of Satan. Would you agree? Yeah? So now you make a decision, I'm going to leave Satan's allegiance and follow Christ and Satan. How do you think Satan feels? Uncomfortable, because I won him. He was one of my best employees. She was employee of mine. So now he wants you back even more. So here comes the temptation. Now, for the person that's a sinner, well, I mean, you're already on your way to hell, basically. But for the person that leaves Satan and comes to Christ, he can say to the Lord, see, Benedict, if I'm loyal to you anyway. So the purpose, you're absolutely right, the purpose of temptation is to cause you to stumble. A trial may be there to test your faith and make you stronger. Does that make sense? So that when you were in school, all of us took exams. The purpose of the exam, your math exam, English exam, is to see whether or not the information, the knowledge that you were taught, has stuck. So that the teacher knows what areas they need to focus on to improve your learning. Does that make sense? It's the same thing with God. So he will give us a trial. Sometimes the trial is to develop us, to correct us, to strengthen us, yeah? Just like your immune system needs to be boosted sometimes when you get sick, you take all that medicine to boost you up, so that when the next storm comes, you have built those antibodies to ward off the enemy, you see? And so, that's why it's important, this 2 Peter 1, 5 through 11, add to your faith these things you must continue to develop to strengthen us, you see? And so, he says, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own lust and enticed. The temptation will not go away. The temptations will never go away, but we have a solution. We have a solution. We must discipline ourselves. That's yes.
But the time is, it's going to have to be a lot of truth.
Yes.
That word intended is not intended, it's going to be a trial against
you. What's that?
He said, my brethren, count it all joy.
Count
it all joy. To God's
temptation. Yes.
That's the reality I'm going to
count it all joy. Why? Because now you have help for the struggle. Before you didn't have help. Because you understand, was Jesus tempted? The Bible says he was tempted in all means, but he did not sin. Why did Jesus not sin? That's a good question. Why did Jesus not sin? Because he chose not to sin. He says he was tempted just like us. Tempted and tried. we are all made to wonder why it should be thus all the day long. And so, Jesus chose not to sin as a choice. Let that wrap around in your mind a bit. All sin is a choice. If I choose not to sin, that's where the self-control comes in place. I don't have to keep doing that. You don't have to keep doing that. You see? And you're not alone. You're not alone. So, First Corinthians 9, 24, 25-27, and everyone who strives for the mastery is temperate in all things. Then those truly that they may receive a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. So then, I run. This is Paul saying, and not as if I were uncertain, and so I fight, not as one who beats the air. In order for us to graduate, to move from one level to the other, we must master this subject. We must master the subject. Even in this world, we spend a lot of time trying to master certain things, but what about our Christian faith? Because we know that, listen, in the end, we will run this race, not for the imperishable crown. Revelation 2:10 says what? Revelation 2:10 says what? Be faithful until death, and you will receive the crown of life that does not fade away. Second Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. For the weapons of our warfare are not fleshly. That's the same thing you read about in Ephesians chapter 6. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. We are in a spiritual warfare. And it's not, we're not fighting against people we can see. If you're fighting against people that you can see, that's not the real enemy. Satan uses people. Yeah, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, pulling down imaginations and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. How much Bible does Satan know? He knows the whole Bible. But is he going to heaven? No, why not? Because he doesn't want to. It says that hell is prepared for the devil and his angels, not for you and me. But if you end up in hell, you do that by choice. But that's not God's desire for you. You see that? And so we are living in a time today where there is more and more wickedness happening. The Bible says, woe unto they that call evil good and good evil. We are living at a time now where leaders of countries are acting in the most ungodly way, and people, nobody is upset. Now they're calling it, that's fake news. They're calling good evil and evil good. That didn't just happen in 2025, that's been happening since time immemorial. And bring into captivity every thought into the obedience of Christ. That starts with you and me. You know where these strongholds take place up here? Self-control. Listen, we have to keep things in perspective. You see people road rage, they're on social media tearing down people, protesting, all these things that happen today. Self-control. Why do people do what they do? A lack of self-control. They think, you know what, if somebody wrongs me, I've got to wrong them. No. The Bible says, vengeance is mine. I will repay. God's justice may not be as quick as you want it to be, but God, no one will escape God's justice. I will probably let God take care of it in me.
Yeah. So, you talk about self-control. And so, doing right is our choice. Doing right, it's always the right thing and the right time to do the right thing. And it's never a wrong time to do right. Huh? Even when, listen, on your job, people say, oh, I'm Gary, are you doing X, Y, Z? And then, speak up. Are you calling me? Well, you don't know. I don't believe in that. I don't support that. Hmm? Because it's easy to just go along with the crowd. Self-control. Temptation comes in the most subtle ways. And Satan knows your strengths, and Satan knows your weaknesses. Hmm? And he, and when will Satan, what is that, he will attack you when you're hungry, when you're angry. What is it, halt? You remember halt? When you're hungry, when you're angry, when you're lonely, and when you're tired. You remember a boy was hungry, two boys were hungry in the Old Testament, they were angry, Peter. When you're lonely, and when you're tired. Man, I haven't eaten anything, you lose your mind. Or maybe it's just me. Add to your faith perseverance. Let's do this. Perseverance, the capacity to hold up and bear up in the face of difficulty. Patience, endurance, fortitude, steadfastness, perseverance. This is a word that's out of a dictionary word, stick-to-itiveness. The ability to bounce back. Perseverance. To be devoted. If self-control has to do with physical pleasures, perseverance has to do with pain. Has to do with pain. How long are you willing to suffer? How long are you willing to suffer? Our natural tendency is to pursue pleasure and flee from the pain. Why do the pubs, clubs, nightclubs, discos, why do they exist? Folks want some way to let off steam, a diversion, yeah? The gospel calls us to identify with Christ. We must pursue piety and respect for God. And we must run with endurance. Acts 14, verse 22, confirming the souls of the disciples, calling on them to continue in the faith, and that through what? Much tribulation. Now, are you struggling right now? And here's the truth. Satan will not fight against and oppose someone that's working for him already. Isn't it, that makes sense? Huh?
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah. Sweet, but if you're already doing what he wants you to do, why is he going to attack you? Hmm? If you're going through a struggle, a spiritual struggle right now, maybe you're doing the right thing. Maybe. That through much tribulation we must enter the kingdom of God. Yeah? Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom? The basileia, the reign and rule of Christ. When we become a Christian, we must give up all right to rule our own lives and hand it over to Jesus. But you know what we do? We say the Lord's in control on Sunday, but during the week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, we want to be in control. Huh? Yeah. He is my king. Where he leads, we need to stop singing that. Yeah? Because you're going to have some trials. When you're going against the grain, huh, the world's going this way and you're trying to go the other way, guess what? Folks say, well, who do you think you are, George? You used to hang out with us before. What do you think you're better than us? You're not coming like you used to know? No. Self-control. I'm not coming down there and doing that no more. You see that? We must enter the kingdom. James 5:7-8. Therefore, be patient, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. Patience. What is patience? Patience. You ever hear her folks say, don't pray for patience. Doctor said, come, patience. One thing I learned coming to the UK, everything's a queue. Are you in the queue? Huh? You go to the bus stop, and you my first time, and I'm just walking up the front, and folk are staring at me. And I look back, and you get that look. Oh, sorry. Know your things? Huh? Behold, the farmer waits for the precious fruits of the earth and has long patience for it. You don't plant today and expect to reap a crop tomorrow. You don't pray today and ask and expect for God to answer that prayer right away. Huh? You're gonna have to endure some things. Lord, I'm praying that you get me out of this situation. He said, but listen. Who put you in that situation? You put yourself in that situation. It may take a while to get you out of that situation, but while you're in that situation, consequences and patience. Weigh on me. Keep going down to that job. Keep putting up with the abuse until I'm going to raise a call. Until I'm going to raise to change that situation for you. Huh? How long was Moses in the wilderness? After he killed that man, 40 years he was out there. Well, we want instant, don't we? We want instant results. For the precious fruit has gone until he receives the early and latter rain. Verse number 8, you didn't see this. You also be patient. Oh, I have to work on my patience. Huh? What it means to me, Earl Smith, I'm working on it every day. You also be patient. Establish your hearts. Settle your hearts for the coming of your Lord. If you came back tonight, would you be ready? If you came back on the way from this place today, would you be ready? And he says, perseverance. What have you put up with? The Lord puts up with you. You're praying the same prayer over and over. Doing the same thing over and over. Asking for the same thing. He says, I'm going to put up with you. You're going to put up with me. Jesus has put up with you. Huh? And so, the person that irritates you, the person that irritates you, remember this. Add to your faith. Perseverance. And I've got to say, you got to pull yourself back. I can't say that. I can't do that. I can't think that. Because I remember this verse ringing in my ears. Smith, you can't teach something that you're not doing yourself. Huh? Because I don't care who's watching me. God is watching me. God is watching me. I have to give an account. You have to give an account. All of us will have to give an account. Huh? Why am I going through this? Because he said to add to your faith perseverance. That's all that's. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for